Right now it's time to check sports. Let's bring in Mike Conzie and we can talk about the New York Mets tying their biggest and best start ever in the history of that storied franchise. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Best start ever.
Yep.
The Mets.
Yeah.
Meet the Mets.
Meet the Mets, greet the Mets. Step right up and beat the Mets.
That's right. That's, I used to sing that all the time. My brother Mark, we used to go to Shea Stadium all the time, and I used to sing that all the time, and he used to get so mad because he was a Met fan.
Yeah, they played real good against Washington over the weekend. Yesterday they played one of the worst teams I've ever seen in Major League Baseball history in the Marlins, and they beat them 4-2. Syndergaard pitched okay, didn't pitch that good. Familia, the worst closer in baseball, who everybody's bragging about today, almost threw fire on the gasoline on the fire yesterday. Came in, put two guys on, got hit around like a rented mule yesterday, and got out of it because of some awful players on the Marlins roster. If he pitched against a major league team yesterday, they would have lost the game. And the Mets are 8-1 nonetheless. So. They should fatten up playing down there in Miami. I think there's more Met players in the stadium than people. It's awful down there. They probably had about 1,500 people there last night, and probably 1,300 of them are New York transplants living in South Florida. I just don't understand how the Marlins are in existence. Just turning on the air conditioning is going to cost more than they're taking at the gate. Maybe Derek Jeter's going to decide that the Marlins play every day at 1 o'clock with the roof open, so they don't have to put the air conditioning and the lights on to save money. But the Mets are 8-1. They should leave Florida 10-1, and maybe they'll start playing some teams that are major league caliber again, so you can get a true read on how the Mets are. But last night they kind of like stumbled through the game. But in the past, that's a game that the Mets probably lose. After sweeping the Nationals for the first time in 7 years, going down to Miami where they're notoriously bad, that's a game that the Mets usually lose, and last night they didn't, so it's a move in the right direction.
All right, where else do you want to go in sports?
Baseball.
Keep going.
Last night, probably three of the best pitchers in baseball pitched last night, four if you want to put Syndergaard in there, but the other three totally, totally dominated. Corey Kluber pitched a very good game against Detroit last night, and Cleveland won 2-0. Verlander pitched against Minnesota in Minnesota last night. Houston won 2-0. There was one point in the game where Verlander had first and third, no out, and 99% of the pitchers in baseball would have been yanked by then because that's just the way they do things in baseball. But Verlander's a throwback to the olden days. Verlander pitched himself out of the jam with two strikeouts and a pop-up. When you get a pitcher with two guys on and no outs and he pitches himself out of it, that's just a boost for the team. When you bring one of these guys in to clean up somebody else's mess, it's not that way. So Verlander pitched a great game against Minnesota. And Max Scherzer, what can you say about him? A complete game shutout against Atlanta. Washington wins 2-0. So some of the biggest names to go to the Hill last night went, and they didn't disappoint. And, when you bring up National League pitching, Max Scherzer's light years ahead of everybody else, and that includes the imposter in Los Angeles.
All right.
So tonight, the Yankees, the greatest team that money can buy, goes up to Boston last night and brings their circus to the Red Sox town, and tonight you got Sale going up against Severino, a match of your aces. It's only 10 games into the season, but this is a big game for the Yankees. If the Red Sox beat the Yankees tonight, the Yankees fall under 500. They go to Boston. They lose to their rival with their best pitcher on the mound. The Yankees fall to 5-6. The Red Sox go to 9-1. And at this early stage in the season, the Yankees are 5 games behind the Red Sox after only playing 11 games. Not a good thing for the Yankees. This early in the season, it's about as big as a game can be for the Yankees.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
I love every minute of it. I hope that guy strikes out 4 times tonight. There goes another $200,000.
You're enjoying this.
You know, you look at these players that play in small markets, and the Yankees have a history of bringing small market players to New York going back many, many years, and they just can't perform in New York. I'm not saying that Stanton's going to be a total bust, but if the beginning of his season is a microcosm of what it's going to be like, man, it's going to be a long year for him.
All right, well, we'll see what happens with that.
Definitely.
All right. Where else do we want to go? They're not much. You know,
hockey playoffs start in 2 days, so you're going to have 2 months of a lot of good sport, a lot of good games, and like I say, year after year, the most exciting postseason in sports.
All right, now there's a great article that's up on the web that, if you look back at the history of the NFL draft, people that have been doing the draft over the years, the position which is flunked the most, which has had the most poor choices, is what?
Probably the first part.
Which one? I mean,
what position?
What position?
Oh, quarterback.
Yep. The NFL is undeniably the worst in picking quarterbacks. I mean, there's a list of names that just scare you when you see that went off first.
But here's the thing you got to remember, okay? How many teams are there in the NFL?
I don't know. What,
32, 34, whatever,
like
32
that, yeah.
Probably. Okay, well, if you have 32, that means there's 64 starting guards, 64 starting tackles, 100 and something wide receivers and running backs. So there's a lot of numbers, right? There's only one starting quarterback, and they're at a premium. So, you know, year after year, these players play in college, and the pro game has evolved to a different position for a quarterback. Is it a thrower? Is it a runner? Is it a little bit of both? It's not the same type of prototypical player that it's been for a long time.
No, but
so the NFL doesn't even know what type of player they need for a quarterback. So naturally, the draft picks aren't going to pan out too good.
Listen,
if you look at the guys that have been successful recently, they're not your regular quarterback coming out of college. Some are, most aren't.
All right, let's look at the year 1998, Peyton Manning. He panned out. 1999.
Yeah, but how many other guys in 1999 panned out?
1999.
There was another guy that year. Wasn't his name, what was the guy's name that played in San Diego? Wasn't he supposed to be like, there was a decision whether to take him or Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
Remember?
But then,
what did the other guy do? He wound up in a psychiatric ward, I think.
1999, Tim Couch. 2000, Chad Pennington. 2001, Michael Vick. 2002, David Carr.
Lost.
2003, Carlson Palmer. 2004,
he had a decent career.
2004, Eli Manning for the Giants. 2005, Alex Smith.
Lost.
2006, Vince Young.
Lost.
2007, Jamarcus Russell.
Who?
That's right. 2008, Matt Ryan.
Lost.
2000,
no,
no.
He's going in Atlanta.
2009, Matthew Stafford. 2010, Sam Bradford. 2011, Cam Newton. 2012, Andrew Luck.
Well, the last couple have been pretty good.
2013, we're going to go back downhill, E.J. Manuel. 2014,
Oof.
Blake Bortles.
Oof.
2015, Jameis Winston, still to be decided. 2016, Jared Goff. And Jared Goff.
Oh, the guy from the Rams.
Yeah. And 2017, Mitchell Trubisky.
There you go. Of the law firm Trubisky, Trubisky, and Rabinowitz.
Three quarters of those names are so bad they probably didn't even make the team.
Yeah, there's a lot of what's and who's in there, right?
My God.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, if you look, a lot of the better quarterbacks that were successful in the NFL weren't first-round picks.
Remember, in 2000...
Maybe the two best ever in football history weren't even first-round picks.
How about this?
They?
In the year 2000, Chad Pennington was picked, okay, number one. And that's the year Tom Brady was in the draft.
And where was Brady?
Way
what?
Down, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That was just some... I thought they were fun statistics to look at. My God.
Oh, yeah. Joe Montana fell through the draft. I mean... Joe Montana and Brady, probably two of the best quarterbacks to ever play and the most successful with the Super Bowl wins that they have, they weren't even close to number one picks.
No.
So it just shows you the NFL's not an exact science, with all the analytics and everything else they do. I love this stuff. I was watching a ball game last night, and they said, oh, Cespedes was screwed up on this pitch because of the analytics. This guy usually doesn't throw this pitch in this count. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, I pitched a long, long time, and there was not a specific pitch I threw for a part of a count. These guys are just out of their minds. When you pitch, you try to outthink the batter to throw them something that you don't think is coming. So analytics is something that's on a roll you use when you go in that little room with that little round disposable thing. Analytics is trash. It's all garbage. It's just another way of trying to reinvent the wheel that's not going to work.
All right. Well,
analytics.
We'll analyze more next tomorrow.
L. Ron Hubbard's analytics.
That's right. I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Have a great day, guys.
Bye-bye, Mike. Mike Kazi on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.